She worked hard, she studied, she built something steady in a world that promised nothing. And instead of pride, she was met with suspicion, not from strangers, from the man beside her. In many Caribbean households, ambition in a woman is still treated like a warning sign. Too independent, too confident, too sure of herself. Those words are not observations, they are alarms. They signal fear, fear of displacement, fear of irrelevance, fear that the old rules no longer apply. Our history trained men to be providers at all costs. It trained women to survive no matter what. When those two paths collide in modern life, love becomes a battlefield. Success becomes a threat. Affection becomes conditional. This episode is not about blaming men or praising women. It is about confronting a truth we keep avoiding. When power shifts, insecurity speaks, and sometimes it speaks loudest in the places that are supposed to feel like home. Chapter 1, Setup and Stakes. When roles break before people do, long before the phrase "you too independent" ever left a man's mouth, the ground beneath Caribbean masculinity was already unstable. To understand that instability, we have to go back to survival, not romance, not modern dating, survival. After slavery, freedom arrived without land, without capital, and without protection. Men were expected to become providers in a system that never intended to let them own anything. Women, meanwhile, were expected to work immediately in fields, in markets, in homes, in towns, not because of empowerment, but because hunger does not wait for pride. That imbalance never left, it hardened. Men were taught that their worth lived in provision, not tenderness, not communication. Provision, bring money, bring food, bring authority. If you fail there, you fail as a man. That lesson was passed down without question, even as the economic reality changed around it. Women were taught something different. They were taught that survival comes first. If a man can provide, good. If he cannot, adapt, sell, clean, teach, trade, leave if necessary, endure if possible, do not starve, waiting for someone else to become ready. This was not ideology, this was inheritance. By the mid-20th century, the cracks started to show. Education expanded across the Caribbean. Girls stayed in school longer. Boys left earlier. Some chased work, others drifted. The numbers did not make noise at first, but they told a quiet story. Classrooms filled with girls, graduation ceremonies followed the same pattern. Women entered offices, hospitals, schools, and civil service roles in growing numbers. Men remained dominant in physical labor, transport, and trades, but those sectors began to shrink or stagnate. Wages flattened, stability disappeared. The provider role started slipping, but the expectation never adjusted. Inside homes, something subtle happened. Women began carrying more of the financial weight, sometimes half, sometimes most, sometimes all. But the language inside relationships did not change to match that reality. Men were still expected to lead, women were still expected to defer, the math no longer worked, but the rules stayed in place. This is where tension begins, not with insults, not with arguments, with silence. A man watches his partner advance. Promotions, certificates, confidence, her world expands, his feels smaller, not because she did anything wrong, but because he was never taught how to exist outside one narrow definition of worth. He does not say this out loud. He cannot. Admitting fear feels like failure, so the emotion mutates. It becomes irritation, distance, sarcasm, control. You changed. You moving funny. You don't need nobody. And eventually, you too independent. That phrase does not arrive suddenly. It arrives after comparison, after quiet counting, after the realization that she can survive without him. For generations, Caribbean masculinity was not built to withstand that realization. It was built to prevent it. From a young age, boys absorbed the message that being needed equals being respected. Being replaced equals being erased. No one taught them how to share space with a capable woman without interpreting it as competition. So when success enters the room, it does not feel like partnership. It feels like judgment. Women feel this shift before it is spoken. The tone changes. Support becomes conditional. Pride turns into pressure. Her achievements are minimized or reframed as threats to the relationship. Why are you working so late? Why are you always tired? Why you need all that? These are not questions, they are warnings. Inside many relationships, independence becomes something to manage rather than celebrate. A woman learns that peace often requires shrinking, choosing words carefully, avoiding topics, softening success so it does not bruise someone else's identity. This is not love, it is negotiation under tension, and it is rooted in history, not personality. We have to be clear here. This is not about bad men. This is about men carrying a role that no longer fits the economy, the household, or reality. A role that was never designed to evolve. When the provider role collapses, two things can happen. Identity can expand, or control can tighten. Too often, control wins. Control shows up as criticism, emotional withdrawal, financial resentment, undermining, sometimes cheating, sometimes silence, sometimes outright hostility. Not because a woman is ambitious, but because ambition exposes insecurity that was never addressed. Our history did not teach men how to rebuild identity. It taught them how to perform it loudly, rigidly, publicly. So when performance fails, panic follows. At the same time, women are told conflicting stories. Be educated, but not intimidating. Be successful, but not threatening. Be independent, but not alone. Carry the household, but do not embarrass the man beside you. This contradiction creates exhaustion and resentment. By the time the words "you too independent" are spoken, the relationship is already strained. That sentence is not the beginning of the problem. It is the confession. It says, I no longer know where I fit. It says, your growth makes my role unclear. It says, I was promised authority, and now I feel optional. This chapter is not about assigning blame. It is about recognizing pressure points created by history and left unresolved. Because when roles break before people do, relationships become the battlefield where unfinished identity fights for survival. And once independence is seen as danger instead of dignity, the home stops being a refuge. It becomes a test, and that test is only just beginning. Chapter 2, Escalation and Reversal. When insecurity learns how to speak, the shift does not announce itself with shouting. It creeps in through tone. By the time insecurity becomes visible, it has already been rehearsed in silence. A man notices the change in balance, not just money, decision-making, confidence, social respect. His partner's voice carries weight outside the home now. People listen to her, rely on her, sometimes more than they rely on him. He feels this long before he names it. In earlier generations, a man's authority rarely needed explanation. It was assumed he worked, he earned, he led. Even when women contributed heavily, the story still centered the man. That story protected fragile egos and kept order in households shaped by scarcity. But modern life does not protect that story. Across the late 20th and early 21st century, economic shifts hit traditional male labor hard. Manufacturing declined, agricultural work shrank, informal labor became unstable. Meanwhile, service sectors expanded, education mattered more, credentials mattered more. Women adapted faster, not because they were favored, but because survival taught them flexibility. This created a reversal that many men were never prepared for. A woman earning more does not just change the budget, it changes how power moves, who decides, who negotiates, who leaves if things collapse. That reality sits heavy in a culture where masculinity was tied to being indispensable. So insecurity learns to speak in coded language. You acting different. You don't listen like before. You don't respect me. Respect becomes the key word. But respect is rarely defined. It floats. It shifts. It usually means control without resistance. When a woman questions decisions, sets boundaries, or prioritizes her goals, insecurity reframes it as disrespect. Not because it is, but because disagreement threatens authority that was never earned through partnership. This is where behavior changes, support becomes selective, praise disappears. Achievements are met with jokes or silence. If she succeeds at work, he reminds her of what she neglects at home. If she advances socially, he questions her loyalty. If she becomes financially stable, he accuses her of not needing him. Needing becomes currency. In some relationships, men respond by withdrawing emotionally. Conversations shorten. Affection fades. Presence becomes mechanical. This is punishment disguised as distance, a way to regain leverage without confrontation. In others, control tightens. Questions multiply, schedules are monitored, independence is framed as selfishness. The message is clear, your growth must be managed. Cheating sometimes enters here, not always for desire, but for validation. A man seeks spaces where he still feels dominant, where admiration is easy and unearned, where his partner's success does not follow him into the room. This is not about morality, it is about identity collapse. Our history did not give men tools for emotional literacy. It gave them authority scripts. When those scripts fail, men are left improvising with fear. Meanwhile, women experience the reversal differently. At first, many try to compensate. They downplay achievements. They reassure. They shrink. They say things like, I couldn't do this without you, even when that is no longer true. They manage egos because peace feels easier than confrontation. But managing someone else's insecurity has a cost. Women begin editing themselves. They stop sharing good news, they delay opportunities, they choose stability over growth. Not because they want to, but because success now carries consequences at home. This is how ambition becomes a threat. Not because it harms the relationship, but because it exposes an imbalance no one wants to address. Language becomes sharper, arguments circle the same themes, time, money, respect, control, but the real issue stays buried. Fear of being unnecessary. Men rarely say this out loud. They were not taught how. Instead, they accuse, "You think you better than me? You don't need nobody. You acting like a man." That last one cuts deep. It reveals how rigid the definition of masculinity remains. Leadership, confidence, independence. These traits are still coded as male territory. When women occupy them, it feels like trespassing. So backlash grows. Some men attempt to reclaim authority through dominance, raised voices, financial restrictions, emotional intimidation. This is not strength. It is desperation dressed as tradition. Others disengage entirely. They let relationships decay rather than adapt. They retreat into nostalgia, stories about how things used to be, how women were softer, more respectful, easier to manage. This nostalgia ignores history. Caribbean women were never soft. They were resilient because they had to be. The difference now is visibility. Their strength is public, documented, undeniable. And that visibility leaves no place to hide insecurity. Communities feel this tension beyond individual relationships. Conversations shift, radio talk, social gatherings, online debates. The phrase, "you too independent," becomes common. A warning passed between men. A criticism passed to women. It becomes shorthand for anxiety. Do not grow too much. Do not outrun the men around you. Do not make them uncomfortable. This pressure reinforces cycles. Boys watch men struggle with irrelevance and learn avoidance instead of adaptation. Girls watch women punished for ambition and learn caution instead of confidence. The reversal is complete. What was once survival for women is now framed as rebellion. What was once authority for men is now fragile and defensive. This chapter is the breaking point, the moment where relationships either transform or fracture, because the question is no longer whether women will continue to advance. That has already happened. The real question is whether men will redefine themselves or cling to a collapsing role until it takes everything with it. And in that tension, love stops being the focus. Control takes the wheel, and the cost is about to surface. Chapter 3, Consequences and Legacy. What survives after the role breaks? When insecurity is left unchecked, it does not stay contained inside arguments. It leaks into the future. The cost shows up first in quiet decisions. A woman turns down an opportunity, not because she cannot do it, but because she is tired of the tension it will bring home. She chooses peace over progress. Not once, repeatedly. Over time, that choice reshapes her life. This is one of the least discussed consequences of male insecurity. Not violence, not shouting, but the slow erosion of potential. Women learn to measure success not by what they can achieve, but by how much disruption it causes. Ambition becomes something to ration. Too much at once feels dangerous. Too visible feels risky. So they pace themselves to protect relationships that are already fragile. That restraint does not go unnoticed by children. Sons watch their fathers struggle with relevance. They hear bitterness disguised as jokes. They absorb resentment without understanding its source. They learn that masculinity is something easily threatened and fiercely defended. Vulnerability looks unsafe. Adaptation looks like surrender. Daughters watch their mothers calculate every move. They learn that independence has consequences, that being capable can make you lonely, that success can cost affection. They grow cautious, strategic, sometimes smaller than they need to be. This is how insecurity becomes inheritance. Not through lectures, but through atmosphere. Some men do adapt. We need to say that clearly. Adaptation is possible. It requires dismantling old definitions and building new ones. Contribution instead of control. Partnership instead of performance. Emotional presence instead of authority. But adaptation demands humility, and humility was never rewarded in the old system. For men who make that shift, relationships change. Not overnight. Trust rebuilds. Respect becomes mutual rather than demanded. Independence stops being a threat and starts being a shared asset. These men redefine worth. They find value in support, in collaboration, in growth that is not centered on dominance. They stop asking, "Do you need me?" and start asking, "How do we move together?" But now, not everyone chooses that path. Others harden. They double down on nostalgia. They blame feminism. They blame education. They blame women for not staying in their place, even though that place was never stable to begin with. These men often become isolated. Relationships fail. Children distance themselves. Bitterness replaces intimacy. The role they fought to protect leaves them alone anyway. Communities reflect this divide. You can hear it in conversations. One group pushing forward, arguing for partnership, flexibility, shared power. Another clinging to old scripts, insisting that something was stolen from men rather than acknowledging that something was never sustainable. Independence becomes a filter. It reveals who sees women as partners and who sees them as threats. Who is willing to grow and who is invested in control. Who understands history as context and who uses it as a weapon. This is the legacy we are sitting with now. Our history created women who know how to survive without permission. It created men who were promised authority but not taught adaptation. That mismatch is not accidental. It is the result of systems built on extraction, hierarchy, and control. But history does not get the final word. Choice does. Men today are not responsible for the system that shaped these roles, but they are responsible for what they do with the inheritance. Ignoring it does not make it disappear. Fighting it only deepens the damage. The phrase "you too independent" is not a diagnosis of women. It is a confession from men who feel left behind by change. The danger is not independence. The danger is refusing to evolve. Relationships cannot survive when equality is treated as optional. Love cannot thrive when one person's growth threatens the other's identity. Families fracture when control is mistaken for leadership. If we are honest, this moment demands more than blame. It demands reconstruction. We have to teach boys that worth is not fragile, that partnership does not erase masculinity, that being needed is not the same as being valued, that identity can expand without collapsing. We have to teach girls that ambition does not require apology, that independence is not loneliness, that shrinking is not peace. Our history explains how we got here. It does not excuse staying here. The question now is simple, even if the work is not. Will we raise a generation that sees equality as a threat or as a foundation? Because the future of relationships in our communities will not be decided by who earns more or who leads louder. It will be decided by who is willing to grow when the old roles no longer work. And history is watching what we choose next.